Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back, 'cause this means war.
Mankind has gone crazy. We are in a spiritual warfare. You are now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live once again from Harper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, I am so excited to have once again a man of God, awesome man of God, powerful man of God, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson will be delivering God's word on tonight. If you missed the previous announcement, please mark your calendars. You don't want to miss this. Overseer Jackson will now be delivering God's word on this platform every third Thursday night and also every fourth Saturday night. Once again, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. will be delivering God's word on his worldwide platform every third Thursday night and every fourth Saturday night. So please pass the word to your friends and neighbors and ministries, even your co-workers and friends, and even your enemies. Let them know that this awesome man of God is on now twice a month delivering God's word. We get ready to go to God's throne of grace and mercy and prayer once again on tonight. So if you know of anyone that have lost a loved one, if anyone that you may know of that's sick and afflicted, we're going to touch and agree on one accord together on tonight that God will touch, heal, and deliver and set free on tonight, that he will comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved on tonight. We serve an awesome God. We don't have to send him anywhere. He's already there. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children tonight, touching and agreeing that you are God all by yourself. You have and hold all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy of our praise. We come now asking, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson and his entire family, and every slave believer that have been faithful doers of your word all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth, Heavenly Father, will not be in vain. This we ask in your son Jesus' name on tonight. We come lifting up all those that have bereaved on tonight. You know who they are and where they are. And we also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father. We ask that you will move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen your people Heal them as only you can in the name of Jesus. So once they're healed, they will have enough sense to know and let the world know without a doubt that it was you who have touched, healed, delivered them, and set them free for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And then, oh God, we pray and lift up all those that have bereaved on tonight all over the land. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence, even during the hour of bereavement. And help them to remember that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Heavenly Father, it's our prayer and hope and desire that something will be said through your word, through your man of God on tonight, through Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. Should there be any listeners that's not saved in Jesus' name, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars all over the United States, anyone that hears this word on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer that you will move by your spirit, touch their hearts, Lord, that they will hear this word, they will receive your word on tonight. They will confess their sin, will open their mouth, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them on tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we pray that you would have your way, help us to decrease so that you may increase in us individually and then as a corporate body of believers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight, it comes to us saying, just saying you are saved in Jesus' name, you must know it in your heart. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Just saying you are saved in Jesus' name, guess what? You must also know it in your heart. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. I am so excited once again to have Overseer Joseph E. Jackson coming forward to share another word from the Lord on tonight with us. So I pray that you listeners that have dialed in by phone, those of you that are listening in through social media platforms around the world, even those of you that may be incarcerated behind prison bars, I pray and hope that you have access to a Bible, that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with this awesome man of God as he gets ready to share another word from the Lord with us on tonight. But before he do that, I want to give a shout out real quick to my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and my church family, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, which is also located in Copper Woods, Michigan, on tonight. We're getting ready to go to a music break, and we got to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. And once he has concluded with tonight's message, as usual, we will open up the phone lines for those of you that have dialed in. If you want to have, if you have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you just want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so following the message on tonight once again. Enjoy tonight's music break.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Yes. Aren't you grateful on tonight? I know I am. I am so grateful to God that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, that he came down from glory in the form of flesh, in the form of man, a baby, to pay our sin debt on the cross with his own precious sinless blood, righteous and holy blood he shed on the cross for you and for me, for anyone that that will accept Jesus Christ as God's son and believe that he died, that he rose for us, he paid our sin debt on the cross. I am so grateful on tonight, and I'm sure you, the listeners, are as well, that Jesus Christ thought enough about mankind that he would pay our sin debt on the cross so that we would have a right to the tree of life. So right now we are ready to receive none other than my guest on tonight. Again, I don't consider him as a guest anymore. That's my brother in Christ. So we are ready to receive him now, and I pray that you have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready. And once again, we will open up the phone lines at the end of this message. If you have a question for him or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so following the message. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Doctor. We honor the Lord tonight for the privilege of being with each and every one of you. We're grateful for this opportunity that he has given us to hopefully encourage somebody. There is a word from the Lord, and I just want to get into it. You have to bear with me this evening. As James knows, this week has been a traumatic week for me in that my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, went home to be with the Lord. And on the same day that he died, his granddaughter was on her way home to comfort her mother. And somebody hit her with a car and kept on going. But I just want to tell God thank you, because she wasn't hurt badly. It would have been a hard thing for me to have to try to console her mother if she had lost her child and her father on the same day. But God is merciful. When the scripture says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, God will let his angels be around you to protect you and to keep you from all hurt, harm, or danger. That's why I tell people all the time, before you leave your house in the morning, you better learn how to plead the blood of Jesus over your life and over the lives of the individuals that live with you, because you don't know what's waiting for you out there. You don't know what the enemy is trying to do. The Bible said that God will keep us from dangers, both seen and unseen. But you've got to learn to ask God, protect me. James plays a song that I play every Sunday morning when we get ready to go in prayer. Cover me, Lord. Cover me. Cover me with your blood. Cover me and keep me as I go along life's journey. Father, we thank you. We praise and we honor you and we glorify and we magnify your name. And I ask you tonight, anoint me to go forward in strength and in power. I'm not in a position tonight where I really just want to do whatever, but God, you said to be instant in season and out of season. And God, James has asked me to be here and to do something. And so I want you to help me and empower me to do. I ask, God, that you forgive any transgression, any sin, but God, more than anything, we love you tonight. We praise and we honor and we glorify and magnify you. None of us, less of us, God, and more of you. We must decrease that you might increase. And so, God, we ask you to do something for somebody tonight. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know what they need, but I know what I heard you say. Hey, God, I know what I heard you say. And so we're going to speak what you've given to us. We ask you in the name of Jesus just to anoint us now and bless us to go forward. In Jesus' name, rebuke the devil, God, and stop him in his tracks. But we ask you now, if there be somebody sick, I'm asking you to touch their body. Somebody that's depressed, somebody to lift their spirit, somebody that's dejected, God, help them to know that you love them, Father. God, help them in the name of Jesus to know that God cares. I ask you now in the name of Jesus, if there's a suicidal spirit, bind that devil now in the name of Jesus. And God, help those people that are looking for something to get something, please, In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. I want you to look in Deuteronomy, Old Testament, the 30th chapter, verse 15 through 20. And I'm going to be reading the New Living Translation because it's easier for people to understand, more so than the King James Version, and it makes it more plain. And so I like using that in order for people to grasp what we are trying to say. It says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, his decrees, and his regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you, now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you made. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And tonight's message is entitled, The Rules of the House. The Rules of the House. The Rules of the House. I was looking on Facebook one day, as I often do daily, because sometimes some people put on some quotes or they may say something that may strike a chord with me that will lead into a future message. And so on my iPad I have a notation called Sayings, where I will copy some of the things that people have said that are profound and that have a meaning. And so there was one the other day that I just had to write down, and this is where this message is coming from, the rules of the house. Somebody said every house has rules. If you want to be a part of that house, abide by the rules. Walk. What folk outside of the house think doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Hear what I'm saying? It says, every house has rules. If you want to be a part of that house, you have to abide by the rules. And whatever other people think about it don't mean nothing. Now, Father's Day has just passed by, so I don't have to talk about Peter, Paul, John, and whatever. Let me talk about somebody that I know. My dad had a manifesto. That means it's just a creed that he had, that he gave to us, and I read it. I read it at his funeral. And what it simply said was, it was a note to me. It was a note to my sister and to my brother. My dad, my mom, and my grandma had rules, and we knew and obeyed them. Because breaking them would bring about some type of consequence. And unfortunately today, we don't teach children consequences. We let them get away with anything. But back in the day when I was coming up, you didn't get away with nothing. You knew that there was a punishment that was coming if you didn't do what they told you to do. And so you had to follow the rules of the house. When I was coming up, they didn't have nothing called timeout. That came along with Dr. Spock. He was the Dr. Phil of the 70s and 80s. And what they did was they told the child, you go to a corner and you be quiet and think about what you didn't know. When I was coming up, the rule of the house was, if you did not behave like your parents told you to behave, they got to your behind. Because they wanted you to know something. They said, listen, let me tell you something. There's a consequence for misbehavior. If you went to church and you acted crazy, all they had to do was look at you. Because we used to sing a song that said, only a look, and it wasn't a look from Jesus. All they had to do was look at you. And you could tell by the frown on their face that you were in trouble because you had broken a rule. You had broken a rule. In our house, the rules were that you came in the house when the street lights came on. In our house, the rule was you went to school every day and learned what you had to learn. My dad said that was your job. His job was to provide for you and to make sure you had a place to live, a place to eat, and a place to feel safe. But your job was to go and to learn, because they can take anything from you, but they can never take away, your education. The rules of the house. The rules of the house were at 6 o'clock, you sat down and had dinner at the dinner table with everybody. Now everybody's scattered. Early in the morning, everybody got around that breakfast table and you had breakfast and your parents talked to you about what happened in your day. When you went, if something happened in school, they went to the parent-teachers meeting. Rules in the house were the neighborhood was your village. And any one of those adults could reprimand you if you got out of line. Those were the rules of the house. And if one of the neighbors called your mom or your dad and said they saw you doing something, and when you came home and they asked you, Mrs. So-and-so said you did such and such, and you turned around and said, I didn't do that, and they would ask you, so you saying that Miss So-and-so lied on you?
I know that's right.
And then they would get you. They would get you. Oh, they would get you. They would get you because that was part of the rules of the house. Now, on Sunday morning, everybody went to church.
Yeah.
But if you told your mom or dad that you were sick, one of them would stay home with you. But when everybody else came back home and everybody was outside playing, you could not go outside because you were sick.
That's right.
If you were playing games, you were sick. You had to sit in the house while everybody else was playing. But that was the rule of the house. Didn't let you play them. Everybody had chores. You scrubbed the floors. You washed the dishes. You put out the trash. But you did something in that house. The rules of the house was if they gave you an allowance, you had to learn how to use that allowance well. You just didn't spend it to be spending. You had to buy school tokens. You had to buy lunch. You had to learn how to take care of responsibilities. In our house, you didn't sit on the arms of the chairs. You didn't sit on the arms of the couch. You didn't wear no hat in the house. Oh, no. I remember when I was an adult, my father came to my house that I paid the rent and the mortgage on. And I was fixing him breakfast, and I had my hat on. And he looked at me and said, son, take your hat off. And I looked at him and said, excuse me, this is my house. He said, son, take your hat off. The hat came off. because I respected him. Those were the rules of the house. Those were the rules of the house. And so I want somebody to know tonight, God has rules as well. He's got rules that we have to look at and we have to look after if we want to be successful with him. You got to be careful who advises you. Who do you go to get your information from? When you get in trouble, who do you go to get advice from? The Bible said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers or the scornful. You've got to learn how to delight yourself in the word of God. Read what the psalm says. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And if he meditates day and night and does what God said, he turned around and said, he shall prosper. Didn't he tell you in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death? Moses told him, you're getting ready to go into the promised land. But God is saying there are folks over there that you're going to have to overcome. And you can't take on their characteristics because you are a peculiar people. The Bible calls the saints of God peculiar. We're not like everybody else. Rules of the house, rules of the house. You can't hang with old friends. You can't hang with old friends. You just can't be with the same crowd that you used to run with before you got saved. You're not going to win them. They're going to bring you down. How do I know that? Because the Bible said in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse, it says, and what arrangement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You can't be unequally yoked. Not in any way, shape, or form. Some of y'all messed up when you went and got married because you married the wrong person. You can't hook up with a Muslim and you Christian. It ain't gonna work. How can two walk together except they agree? God got certain rules that you cannot overcome if you don't know them. You've got to study the word in order to find out what God wants you to do. He's told you, you can't walk with everybody because everybody doesn't have your mentality, because the Bible said he has transformed you by the renewing of your mind. What you once did, you don't do anymore. Where you once fled, you don't go there anymore. We used to be on the dance floor. I loved the clubs, loved them. But when God got a hold of me, I had to come out of the club. I had to find a new dance partner. Just like I enjoyed dancing in the club, I can dance in the church now. But you had to come out. Why? Because the scripture said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. The Bible said we're a peculiar people. Some of y'all are trying to fit in where you don't belong. And you can't fit in where you don't belong. The old saints used to say you can't put a round peg in a square hole. It won't fit. It wasn't meant to fit. You won't fit because God has done something different to you. He's changed your attitude. The book says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does this happen? As you read the word of God, as you mull over the word of God, as you find yourself fasting and praying, as you find yourself growing closer to him, he begins to sanctify you. What did the book say? Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. That's what the word sanctified means.
And the very God of peace will come in and sanctify you wholly. He'll do the rest of the job for you. But you've got to separate yourself. For the book says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Jesus told us we had to let our light shine so that men would glorify our Father because of the good works we did. Do people feel comfortable around you? I saw something the other day on Facebook, and it blessed me because a young lady said, help me, what do I do? When I walk into a room, it seems like everybody's staring at me, and I feel uncomfortable. What do I do? And I wrote her back and said, sweetheart, don't feel uncomfortable. You're blessed. Jesus called you the light of the world. When you walked into that room, don't you realize they saw Jesus in you? When you walked into that room, you were the light. And the Bible said the light shone in darkness. Those that were in that room saw something different in you, and they just stared at you because they didn't know what it was. Lift up your head, like the scripture says, and let the King of Glory come in, and let them see God in you. When you go to work, do people feel comfortable enough to tell you foul, nasty jokes and you stand there and laugh with them? Do they feel comfortable spreading gossip around you? Do they feel comfortable taking a cigarette and putting in their mouth and puffing without looking at you and say, do you mind? These are questions you must ask yourself, because the saint of God has a responsibility for people to see Christ in you wherever you go. I was on the train heading to Philadelphia, and I was sitting by the window, looking out the window quietly, and I began to read one of the books that I had in my hand. And the lady next to me said something to me, and I spoke to her. And we had a little conversation. And the next thing she asked me was, she said, are you a minister? And I looked at her and I said, why would you say that? She said, I don't know, it's just something about you. She said, there's a difference in your speech pattern. You just don't talk like everybody else talks. You don't, I didn't hear not one curse word come out of your mouth. And you talk with a great deal of intelligence. Are you in ministry? And I said, yes. She said, your speech, she said the same thing that they said to Peter. Your speech betrays you. Your speech told me that there was something unique about you. Can people say the same thing about you? When you go to work, do people know that you're saved? If they took you to court and they had to a case against you saying that you were a Christian, would they convict you? Could they convict you on the evidence that they've seen out of your life day by day? Could they tell that the love of God runs on the inside of your veins? Could they tell it? The rules of the house, you've got to be able to let your light shine so that people can see what's going on. You see, every message is not a jump, shout message. I'm sorry. You just don't do that. You've got to come down to the reality of knowing that God is requiring something of us. You've got to take care of your body. Why? Because the Bible said, know you not that the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost and that God resides on the inside of you? I'm looking at saints going to tattoo parlors and tattooing their bodies.
What you did prior to Christ is one thing, but once you come to Christ, you got no business going to a tattoo parlor. Because the Bible told you, do not put those markings on your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Would you want somebody to come and put graffiti on the outside of your church? I don't think so. So why would you put it on your on the body that God calls his temple? Oh, it's tight, but it's right. See, people don't talk about these things anymore. You may not ask me to come back again, and that's okay, but I gotta say what he says. Light shines in dark places. Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People should respect you because of your stance for God. Lastly, you've got to know how to point others to Christ. You've got to cry loud. And you got to spare not. You got to show them their transgressions. But you do it in a manner that is pleasing to God. The Bible said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. You don't just jump in somebody's face and talk about their sin. If there is sin in their life, at least if you're going to point it out to them, take the time to tell them the anecdote for sin, which is Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed at Calvary. We love the sinner, but we don't condone the sin. Remember, you were once in sin. You didn't come the first time somebody told you about Jesus. The Bible says, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. It may be your responsibility just to say a kind word to somebody. How many times have I walked into the church of God and I watch people when I sit in the pulpit? Not many people turn to the people that they're sitting by and say hello. You know that the person is a visitor, but you don't even shake their hand. You need to take the time to let people know that God loves them. The other day, in my conclusion, when I got the word from God, he said, Joe, I want you to go to your brother-in-law and present Christ to him. He's getting ready to leave. And if he leaves in the condition that he's in, hell will be his portion. I need you to go to him, and I need you to let him know how much I love him. Just as I sent Gabriel to Mary, just as I sent Gabriel to John the Baptist's father to make the announcement, I need you to go make an announcement to your brother-in-law. Let him know how much I loved him. Let him know that Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with it? But you tell him what I said to you in John 3:16, that I so loved the world that I let my son Jesus die for him. Tell him what heaven is like. Tell him that his body is decaying. But you tell him for me that I've got a building not made by hands, human hands, waiting for him. Tell him that Jesus said, in my Father's house were many mansions. Tell him that Jesus went to prepare a place for him, and I need him to get prepared to receive what I want to give him, but I can't give it to him if he doesn't ask me for that salvation. You go and tell him. And the devil tried everything that he could do to keep me from getting to Philadelphia.
You don't have to go right now. Put it off till tomorrow. Do it. And the Holy Ghost said, go now. And I had to get, I couldn't get a train. I had to take a bus there. But I went to his room, and I sat with him, and I anointed his hands and said, Seals, I came to tell you how much God loves you. I came to tell you that he thinks so much of you. He made me come to ask you to please accept his gift. If you don't, Seals, you won't make heaven. And I began to tell him about the glory of heaven. I told him about the streets paved with gold. I told him about the tree that whose leaves were good for the healing of the nation. I told him about the crystal fountain. I told him about the street, the gates that were made of pearls. I told him that there was no sun over there because God was all the light you needed. I told him that there'd be no more tears. I told him that there'd be no more hurting in his body. I told him what God said to tell him, and he sat there with tears in his eyes. And he said, how do I get this? And I told him to just talk to God and ask him to forgive him of his sins and accept Christ as Savior. And he did. And then he went to sleep. The first time he had a good night's sleep in a long time because God had given him the rest that he needed. And a few days later, he slipped away and went home. I was not going to go before God and have his blood cry out against me and say, God gave you a directive to come talk to me, and you didn't come talk to me, and now I'm in hell because you didn't do what God said. How many people are going to cry, their blood is going to cry out against you because you didn't tell them about the love of God? You had an opportunity to let them know that Christ was Savior and Lord, and you didn't do it. And in judgment, their blood is going to cry out against you. I told you sometimes messages don't make you shout, but they make you think. They make you think. And this is a thought message. And God only sends it when he wants somebody to know, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with what I see. I'm not pleased with what I see. But I wanted to tell you what I needed you to do in order to make it right with me. Can you do that? Will you do that? I want to use you in the earth. I got nobody to stand in the gap. I need you to stand in the gap. Don't you see what's happening in the world today? Children are killing their parents. Parents are killing their children. Children are shooting folks in the street. I told you, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before I come back. Don't you see the handwriting on the wall? Get it together, church. The rules of the house, learn them. Learn the rules and then follow them. Father, we thank you. We bless and we praise and we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I need you to bless your people. I need you to bless your people. Oh, we love to dance, we love to shout, but sometimes, God, we just have to have a sober message. And you gave us a sober message tonight, a sober message.
Oh, yeah.
Make us think about what you're saying. Help us to be the light that you called us to be. Help us to be the instrument that brings others to the knowledge of who Jesus is. Folk are dying, going to hell, and we acting like it doesn't matter. Help us, please. In Jesus' name, we pray and thank you. Amen. Lastly, in closing, I want to say to you parents, whatever you do, don't provoke your children. When I read the news report about that young man, 19 years old, who went to his death because his father demanded that he go on that submarine trip with him. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go. But he was afraid not to go because he didn't want to disappoint his dad. Don't make children do things that they don't want to do because it'll mess up your ego. That boy died and went into judgment for nothing. Our children are our future. Encourage them. It's all yours, James.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson, for that word. And I'm touching and agreeing with you. And this is true. Every message, every sermon is not to make you shout. Sometimes God sends us a word that will prick our hearts to make us think, to make sure that we are on the right path, on the right course. Are we being doers of his word? Are we following his will and not our own? So that's what you have done on tonight. You have enlightened us. You have taught, you preached and you taught. You taught us on tonight about the rules of the house. And then there are rules in God's house too as well. And a part of those rules are what you just said. And I like how you put it. And that's for all Christians that are saved in Jesus' name. Can people see Jesus in you everywhere you go? Are you afraid to be a witness for the Lord? Are you ashamed to speak on his name? You know, and that's a good question that we all need to think about. And then you just broke everything down about how, and I can attest to it as well, and some of the listeners on tonight as well, about how we were brought up and raised. As my mother would raise 9 children by herself, she had rules in that house, and we followed those rules.
Because
she was our mama
did.
And our daddy. Yes, Lord. She was our mama and our daddy. And she had strict rules, and we had to follow them. And if you didn't follow them, you paid a price.
You paid
so
a price.
Thing oh, yeah. You might not like that price. You might, sometimes we did it, and then we thought about it after we did it, but it was too late. Because she's going to get you. And sometimes my mama would wait till you got into bed. You think she forgot about what you did? She would wait till you get into bed good and asleep. And come in that room with that cow high belt and pull the cover off and she gets you and let you remind you of what she's getting you for. So this was an awesome message on tonight, the rules of the house. I thank you so much for breaking this down for us on tonight, Overseer Jackson. I was truly blessed and inspired and encouraged by this word on tonight. I know that I was not the only one. So, but that being said, I am getting ready to open up the phone line for all those that have dialed in on tonight. And as we do know, we do have people that do dial in. And I thank God for every one of you that do dial in. But some of them dial in and they don't say anything. But we still thank God for you for taking time out of your busy schedule to dial in and be blessed by God's word. So that being said, the phone lines are now open for anyone that's on the line. If you have received this word on tonight, if you was encouraged by this word, the phone lines are open now, or if you just want to give encouragement words to Overseer Jackson, the phone lines are open right now. The phone lines are open. Anyone?
Yeah, honor to call you. Go ahead. Go ahead, baby.
Go ahead.
Well, Overseer
Hello.
Jackson, Overseer
yes.
Jackson, this is Sister Walker. God bless you. God bless you. That was such a beautiful, heartfelt message, and we truly needed that message tonight. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we are keeping you in our prayers for you and your family, and we
Thank
want
you
to be blessed and want you to know that we love you and we are praying for you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Gwen Walker. Amen. That's our faithful sister, Gwen Walker, from historic St. James Baptist Church over in Evergreen, on Evergreen Road in Detroit, Michigan. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else?
It's always a pleasure to hear this powerful man of God bring forth the word. I want to encourage you on tonight that I am praying for you and your family and the loss of your brother-in-law. And I'm also praying for your niece that was in that accident. I'm praying for you and your whole family. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And I will call James later to talk. So you all be blessed. Love you both.
Thank you so much,
Amen.
Leah. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much, Sister Bell. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else? Praise the Lord.
Yes. Yes. That was a good word tonight, coming back with them old house rules. Some old house rules. I thought that only applied to my house.
No.
But they need to bring them back.
Bring them back.
Yes, Lord.
Bring them back.
Amen.
Bring them back.
Yes.
Because if some of these kids knew, if some of these kids knew what we went through, they'd be totally different.
You got that right.
But I thank you for that word, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much,
and
baby. I appreciate
it. For your family.
Thank you.
That's Sister Marianne King. That's Sister Marianne King from Greensboro, North Carolina, Overseer Jackson. That's the sister of Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina. I want to piggyback off of what you said regarding how you went to your brother-in-law. As how the Lord led you to your brother-in-law to speak a word into his life, and he accepted Jesus Christ before we called him home. Because I've had that experience myself, and I'm sure that we're not the only ones that have experienced that. But it is it's amazing how God would speak a word to his people, and he would direct us to go to certain people. I had an older gentleman that used to live upstairs over me, and he was not saved at all. And he was, I think he was like in his 80s. And I was like early in my late 20s, early 30s. And I was downstairs, and the Lord spoke to me just as plain and clear. The lady that lived upstairs, she was a member of my mother's church, and she had went to church. And so I went upstairs where he was, and he was in the hospital bed. And I just started speaking what God told me to say to him through the word. And he did just like your brother-in-law did. He turned over in that bed and looked at my face, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ right then and there. And all I could do was say, thank you, Jesus, because I knew it was not me. It was just the Lord speaking through me. And I was just doing what the Lord told me to do. So we as Christians, that's why it's so important that we be very careful, like you said, how we live, where we go, and we want to make sure that people see Jesus in us, not us, but that we are doing what God calls us to do, because we don't want anyone's blood to be on our hands when we stand before God. And God told us to go to somebody, individual, to speak a word into their life so they can accept Jesus Christ, but we refused to do it. Our pride got in the way. We thought we didn't know how they were going to feel about us after we left. And so we refused to do it, and they died, and now when they look at their eyes, they're going to open their eyes up in hell. So their blood is going to be on their hands. I am so glad when the Lord speaks to me and directs me to somebody, I try to obey and do what God tells me to do. So thank you for that word on tonight. That was another message within itself. The phone lines are still open. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Well, I thank God for tonight. I just caught the tail end of it. But the thing, you know, from listening to what everybody else is saying, and some of the things that you covered, I covered last Sunday over there in Ephesians 6 chapter and first 6 verses. You know, it's tight, but it's right, and it's need to be spoken to, you know.
That,
but the thing, yeah, amen, praise the Lord. I told him, I said, it's tight, but it's right, you know. Anyway, I thank God for you, Overseer. And the thing that touched me the most from when I listened in on this service tonight, I thank God for your obedience. Come on. I thank God for your obedience. That's number one, for your obedience. Hallelujah.
That's right.
For your obedience.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing to say but that. I thank God for your obedience. God bless you, Obseel.
Thank you so much,
man.
I appreciate
that. Yes, Lord.
All right.
That was
a clear conscience. I appreciate that.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Conscious.
Overseer Jackson, that was my cousin, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, speaking to you.
All right. Let me make you laugh. Years ago, we had a revival at our church in Philadelphia, and a few of us went out to canvas, knocking on doors, inviting people to come to the revival. And it was an old lady, one of the old mothers was with me, and she knocked on this guy's door, and the guy came to the door and said, "What do you want?" She said, "Well, we came to invite you to the revival down the street tonight." And he said, "Is it about Jesus?" And they said, the lady said, "Yes." And he said, "I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus." She said, "Okay, go to hell." And turned and walked away. I said, "Mother, what did you say?" She said, "Well, go to hell." And she went to the next door. That night, that man came to the revival. And got saved. When they asked him why did he come, he said, "Because that old mother told me to go to hell, and I couldn't get that out of my mind. I had to come to church."
That was good. That's what he needed. That's what it took for him. So if that worked for him, that's good. I mean, he still got saved. That's the main thing. He got saved. But listen, Overseer Jackson, I am in total agreement with the listeners on tonight and with you. This word that you just taught us on tonight about the rules of the house, the pastors and preachers in today's generation need to be teaching and preaching on this again.
They got to. We got to go back to basics. We got to teach.
Amen.
The Bible said,
"Amen.
Let's contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." We've got to go back to the basics. The fundamentals.
Amen.
Teach these folks. Ain't nobody. It ain't time out for prosperity. You're going to leave
Praise God. Amen.
You're going to leave here. And everything that you bought on this side is going to stay here when you're gone.
Amen.
That's right.
What kind of treasures do you have in heaven?
Lord, have mercy. Jesus.
All they teaching is about money. You got money is important, but God knows you got to lay up some treasure.
That's right. Some timber. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Amen. Listen, Overseer Jackson, I just want to say to you, I want to give you words of encouragement as well. You know, God is going to strengthen your heart. Be with your sister as you all celebrate her husband's homegoing service. And we thank God that your niece was spared. The Lord spared her life because he's not through with her yet. So we thank God for you, for being the individual, to being the man of God that you are. You're truly standing on God's word, and you are not afraid to be a witness for the Lord. So that makes you truly an asset to the kingdom of God. So we thank God for you on tonight. So you stay encouraged, and just like my sister Christ from my home church, from a Peace and Good World Baptist Church, Terrell Doss always says, you haven't seen nothing yet. The best for you is still yet to come. A's don't have anything to do with it. It's all God's plan. So we just want to thank God for you.
What you guys don't understand is Andre Crouch had a song years ago that said, "Take me back to the place where I first believed." It was my prayer. God, take me back. Take me back.
Yes,
and the Lord is doing that. He's doing that. And I'm so grateful.
Lord.
Take me back. I want it like I had it when I first knew him. Take me back.
That's right. That's a lot of Christians need to go back to their first love. When they first fell in love with Jesus, they need to go back to that point and start all over again. So right now we're going to close out with prayer. Again, don't forget that Overseer Jackson is on twice a month now, every third Thursday night and also every fourth Saturday night. So you want to please mark your calendars. Again, Overseer Jackson is now with us every third Thursday night and every fourth Saturday night. Please pass the word so others can be blessed by what God is doing through him. Eternal God, our heavenly followers, in the name of Jesus, with your children coming together once again on tonight, thanking you for your grace and your mercy that you extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you that his blood still works and it will never lose its power. We thank you, Heavenly Father, you said that once we're in your hands, that nothing can pluck us out of your hands. So we are grateful on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit on tomorrow, and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, move by your Spirit, let your word go forth with power to the point that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that those that are in the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow. That you get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, remember, I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.